I'm still a little under the weather too, so I don't want to have to yell, and I'm sure you guys don't want that. Can you see me okay, or should we turn on the lights? How many fingers? All right. Well, it's definitely good to be with you, and just want to say welcome and thank you again. I know some people are sick, and just being here this morning is just a commitment, a sign of that desire to be here this morning. So I just want to acknowledge that and say thank you for making it a point to be here with us, to be gathered together in the body of Christ this morning, and to gather as a church. It's good to be with you. I do want to start just by making an announcement. Me and Chaney have a, you know, as most of you know, that we live in Columbus now, but we're on our way. Well, we're looking to move up this way from Columbus, and the news is we found a place to rent. We found a house to rent. We hear there's rowdy neighbors. We got rowdy neighbors. Our neighbor's Terry, so we always have someone watching us and taking care of us. But we do have a lease going there, so we'll be taking this next month to move in, to move our stuff from Columbus here to Indian Lake, and we're excited about it. We're excited to. I'm a big believer in living where you minister, and just showing that sign of commitment. And I think that speaks volumes to just what God is wanting to do here, and what God is going to do through this church. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take commitment and faithfulness. And that's, I believe, what me and Chaney are doing as we move here. But it is a little bit of a change. Some of you know I grew up in Waynesfield, so not too far from here. But Chaney has spent her whole life in Columbus. And she spent a year or two in Mount Vernon, which, has anyone ever been to Mount Vernon? Yeah, it's pretty country, right? I mean, it's not like Waynesfield, I would say, country, but it's more country than Columbus. But most of Chaney's life has been spent in Columbus, so it's going to be a little bit of a change for her moving here, living the country life. And I call Indian Lake still country. I know some of you might not see it that way, but compared to Columbus, in Chaney's perspective, Indian Lake is country. We were talking yesterday about how. She was all nervous. She's like, well, how close is the nearest hospital? And I was like, what do you mean? You just drive, you go to the hospital. She's like, well, how fast can an ambulance get there? I'm like, normally you don't call an ambulance. Normally you go to the hospital and go to ER. So she's all concerned. She's like, well, what if there's an emergency? I'm like, I don't know, I guess. I never thought about that. Living in the country, if you're needing it, you go to the hospital, right? But it is going to be a little bit of a change for her, and but she's excited about living around the lake and living that country life. I grew up in the country, so I'm used to. We didn't live on a farm, but we had barns and animals and things like that. So part of that country living that I grew up with was 4-H life. Anyone familiar with 4-H? With livestock. I see a few heads nodding. Maybe this isn't country. I don't know. But I grew up participating in 4-H and going to the Auglaize County Fair for 13 years of my life, from third grade all the way to 1 year out of high school. I went to the Auglaize County Fair, and I showed hogs for 13 years. I loved it. I hope I wouldn't mind if, the day comes where me and Chaney have kids, if the situation is able to raise pigs. I don't know how she would feel about that. I know, I remember telling, it's always interesting trying to explain, has anyone ever been to a hog show, a pig show? If you've never seen one or been to one, think about how weird it is to explain that to someone else. Like, she's like, you hit them with a stick? A cane? Or... I'm like, yeah, it doesn't hurt. You don't hit them, like, hard. Just to steer them. And she's already sad thinking about it. But that was just that was how life, for the 4-H, me and my brothers, we showed pigs. And I have fond memories of going to the fair with my dad and getting up early and spending all day there in the 100-degree heat. And some days were pretty miserable, but most days and most of the memories are good. And I'm just very, when I reflect, you know, we talked about that nostalgia last week about how we look to the past and we remember the good times of our past. And that's what showing pigs is for me. It's something I look back at and just have fond memories of. Well, I want to explain a little bit more about this showing pigs process. Is anyone familiar with kind of, like, you know, they show hogs, but what are they, how do they pick a winner? Does anyone have a clue about that? No? All right. Well, let me fill you in and just educate you about showing pigs. Well, there's different things. There's a judge, and you take your pig, and it's people from all over the county that have raised their pigs for months all throughout the summer. And there's a judge that is looking for particular attributes about this pig. That can be their back size, their leg size, the way they walk, the way their hair is cut. It's just different things like that is what the judge is looking at and judging. And he, and every pig's different, right? So when you get your pig, it's real little, and you hope that one day when it's big enough to show, that it's going to have a lot of those attributes that that particular judge is looking for that day. So that's what we would do. We would pick out pigs and raise them. And we, over the years, we would kind of have an idea of just in general what judges would be looking for, just the things I mentioned to you right now. And what we would do is go to the fair, and we would start to walk all around the barns. We would start to look at the different 4-H clubs, looking at their pigs. It'd be like scouting the competition kind of thing. We'd go over there and looking at, oh, you know, that's a good one. Or there were certain families that always had good pigs, you know. And believe me, you pay for what you get when you buy a pig. You wouldn't believe how much money some people spend on their pig just to show it at the fair. So we would go check them out, and we would watch the earlier shows and, like, be picking out, like, oh, you know, that this one won its class, and then it would get to go up to the champion drive. And so we'd be watching all of those things. But while we were doing that, we would be comparing, okay, how does that one measure up to ours? How does that pig that just won, well, mine's, we would look at ours and say, well, mine's like that, or mine's better than that. But we would start this compare game. We would compare pig attributes. Now, how silly does that sound, right? But we would do this. And sometimes we compare each other ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we look at each other and we start to compare ourselves. We start to look at people and their gifts and talents and just the way they are and say, I'm better, or I wish I had that, or I don't have that. But we do this in our lives. Social media is a great, I don't mean great as in a positive, but it is a place that takes place. Social media. But we do this, don't we? As followers of Christ, we compare. Myself, I'm really bad about this and really tempted often to compare myself as a preacher to other preachers. I watch these preachers on YouTube and, you know, people that you've heard of, people that you hear on the radio. And while I'm listening to these preachers, instead of listening for the message, I'm comparing myself. I'm comparing myself, oh, I wish I could tell a story like that. Or, oh, I wish I could present the truth in that captivating way or engaging way. But it's very easy, very tempting for me to do that. And that's not good, because in today's world, we have access to the best preachers and speakers on our phones. We can, back in the day where preachers, you'd might be familiar with the next town's preacher, but you wouldn't know, like, the world's best, like you do today, readily available. That's what I do. I compare myself But what does that create? What does comparing ourselves lead to? Envy, yes. I wrote jealousy. Yeah, what else? What does, when we start to compare ourselves with the way we see ourselves, with the gifts that we have, with the gifts of others, what happens? That's right, self-doubt. What else? Yeah, self-doubt's a big one for me. When I have to get up here and preach every week, feeling like, oh man. Comparing. I wrote down jealousy, discontentment. Because when we start to compare, we start to not be okay with ourselves. Like, and what happens when we start to do this, when we start to compare, when these thoughts and feelings of envy, jealousy, discontentment, self-doubt, what happens from that? We miss out on who God has created us to be. We miss out on the truth about ourselves. The truth about you, the truth about me, is that you are unique, that you are different, that you have your own set of talents, passions, and I even wrote down, you have your own spiritual gifts. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today, is spiritual gifts, the things that God has given you specifically. Last week we talked about this invitation to discipleship, about how that's what Jesus did when he said, come and follow me. He invited us, his disciples back then, but he invites us even today into this journey called discipleship, this relationship with him. He invited us to that. And last week I mentioned, and along that journey, along that invitation that we accept each and every day to follow him, we wake up and say, God, I want to follow you today. Along that journey that we call life and that we call discipleship, we discover who we are in him. We discover more of who God says we are. We discover more about our spiritual gifts. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And those spiritual gifts, all of these things, all of these truths that are revealed to us, are revealed by the Holy Spirit. As the truth penetrates our hearts, and as we read his truth in his Bible, in his word, the Holy Spirit will reveal who we are. The Holy Spirit reveals who God is, but God reveals who we are in him. And I would invite you to turn to our text today. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at the first 11 verses of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. And I always encourage to follow along. And I hope one day we'll, when we get it worked out, we'll be able to have text up on the screen sometime so we can follow along, so that you can read these words yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And this is Paul writing to the people of Corinth. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. That's our text this morning, and that's a powerful text. It lays out there for us these different things, these different parts of what it means to have spiritual gifts. And that first part that text is talking about is that, and really what the whole text is talking about, is that we are a diverse people, right? As many people are in this room, that's how many diverse and unique people there are, with your own gifts, with your own talents, your spiritual gifts that are given by God himself. So we are diverse, but what this passage is calling us to is unity. We are diverse, but we are unified. The context of our passage that we just read, and if you read in the previous chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll read where Paul is trying to correct the Corinthians, because he's saying, look, when you guys gather together as a church, I've been hearing these things. It's like, you guys gather together, and I've been hearing that these fights take place. Look at it. Chapter 11 talks all about that, about how he's hearing these. Paul wasn't there, but he was hearing reports on how these people, as they gathered together as the church, they were arguing. And that's the context of our passage. They were fighting, these people of Corinth. Bad things were happening when they gathered. And even they were comparing each other. They were arguing about these spiritual gifts that we just read about how awesome it is to be unique. Well, they were arguing about them and what that means, and debating on who was better and comparing each other. So Paul calls them to unity by this passage. And that unity only comes through the Spirit, he says. The Spirit is the one that gives the gifts. The Spirit is the one that brings us all together to serve the same Lord. Unity in the Spirit. Paul also admits that, yeah, there are different gifts. And we just read a whole bunch of them. We don't have time today to talk specifically about each one. Those could almost be their own sermon for each one. But there are these different gifts. Diverse, but unified from one source, from one Spirit. There's all kinds of service, but he says there's one Lord who we serve. He says God works in different ways, but of the same God who works in us. You can see that unity that he's calling for, right? Now, when I think about all these things that we're talking about, and diverse, and how we argue, and just in today's world, what I think about when I initially read that is like denominations. If you don't know what a denomination is, it's just a larger group that a church belongs to. This is denomination of this church is Nazarene. There's a lot of Nazarene churches out there. Another denomination is Baptist or Methodist. So when I read what Paul's talking about here of people of Corinth, I think we still do this today about arguing and debating with denominations. And growing up, I didn't see a lot of teamwork of serving one Lord. We're on the same team. We're on the same team. The church is in this community. We're on the same team. We serve one Lord. But the point he's trying to make here is that we are diverse people of God, but we are united by his Spirit. And then as we read that, all of this, the reason for all of this is to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Then he goes even one step farther and he says, you. Now, when he says you, he's talking to these people, but he's talking to us today. He's talking to you. You have been given a spiritual gift. I don't know if that comes to news to any of you, but that's something that we're going to discover this morning. And I think a lot of people don't realize that they have gifts, that they have not just gifts, but gifts from God. So we are diverse but unified. And he goes on to illustrate this, if you look past verse 11, about what this looks like in a practical way. He gives us an example, a thing that we can picture even now. He gives us this illustration of a body. that he calls the church, us, as we gather together. Paul says, as the church, we are a body. Think of it like a human body. And I'll read it for us. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 12. Talking about the human body, Paul says this, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, us, the church. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that an extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you are together as Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has anointed for the church. First apostles, second prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we have all the same power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do all of us have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not, he says. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best for all." And another passage that is in full support of what we just read, it comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Paul writes these words again. He says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Listen close. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, us. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." It's pretty powerful words, just reading them on their own, isn't it? But what Paul is saying here is, and just to clear it up, is that all of us, we are many members of one body, Christ's body. Christ is the head, and the church is the body of Christ. That's a very common analogy that's found throughout Scripture. But more specifically, that each member of the body has a special function, as we just read. So let me ask you, what happens, and a lot of us are sick, so we should be able to answer this. What happens when a body part doesn't function? I'm stuffed up right now. What happens when one body part doesn't function? Don't feel good. Don't want to do anything. Yeah. And yeah, I think what you're saying is what I have written down is the rest of the body is affected in some way. When one of our body parts doesn't function, the rest of our body feels it. So I'm going to remind you that your gifts, your spiritual gifts, your function, your talents, your passions, your skills, they do have a role in this body that we call the church. Their role in this body of the church is to bring people to Him, as we talked about last week, about how we are journeying on this journey to grow in Him. The role of that body is to bring others along with us. Bring others along with us that proclaim Him as Lord. Now see, what I believe has happened, though, is that we've wrongly elevated certain gifts. I mean, we just read a bunch of lists of the spiritual gifts, like prophesying and speaking in languages and different things like that. I believe we've elevated certain parts of the body as the church to see them as more important, to see them as having a more important function. What I've noticed is that we often lift up and elevate preaching and teaching. Those who are growing up, I don't know if any of you can say this as well, but growing up it was like God calls people to be preachers, teachers, and missionaries. So what about the rest of us? God calls us to do other things than be preachers and teachers and missionaries. So we've wrongly started to elevate different parts, different roles. Or even what these Corinthians were saying is that we've elevated certain roles and spiritual gifts to be more spiritual. To see, oh, well, they do this, well, they must be closer to God or more filled with the Spirit. That's what the people of Corinthians were doing. That's what's happened all throughout church history. Is like, we think if this person is filled with the Spirit, then they're going to look like this. Not all the time. But that's some of the wrong things I've seen take place. And of these different lists that we've talked about, I think that they're often treated and misinterpreted as an all-inclusive list. So the things that we read in the Bible, it's a lot of times people interpret those things that are written there as like, well, those are the spiritual gifts and that's it. There's, if you don't have this or this or this, you don't have a spiritual gift. That's wrong. That's wrong. What Paul was talking about here is that spiritual gifts, though he gave some examples of things that were taking place then, we have, it's a lot different world today. Same spirit is filling us today. We have all been given gifts, talents, passions, and skills that have a function in this body. But I'll remind you, we are diverse. But with the Spirit brings unity to work together, to function as one. So these spiritual gifts that we've been given. I mentioned last week about how this journey called discipleship, this invitation to discipleship, and I would just say the overall Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. It's not meant to be an individualistic mindset. It's the complete opposite. We are to live together as one body. As the scripture just told us, our spiritual gifts were given to help each other. Each of you received a gift. But then the second part of that sentence says, to help each other. So you have a gift. What's your function? To help each other. To live life together. To encourage. To correct. To uplift. To grow together in Christ. To grow closer to each other. So it's along this journey when you begin to discover your gifts and what those look like specifically. And you begin to discover in this, when we do start doing this thing that we call church together, you discover how you can build up the body of Christ with that gift that you've been given. Would you say more or less people believe that they don't need the church as a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? Do people think that church is important? Now, I'm not talking about church building. Church. The people I'm talking to right now. Have you ever asked anyone? I have. It was a school project. I had to. We had to go into a store. I went to Walmart. This was in Mount Vernon. Where we had to go up to people and ask if they were a Christian. And this was, I guess there was a motive, but it wasn't like get them to come to church with you. It was just to find out about what they had to say, to listen to them. So we had to go up to these random strangers and ask if they were a Christian, if they were a believer. And if they said yes, we'd follow that up with, do you go to church? I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 said no. 9 out of 10 said, I am a believer. I believe in God. And when we asked, and I asked about what does that mean, like, well, you know, I believe in higher power, and I believe in Jesus. And but then the follow-up was that, you go to church. Now, I didn't mean a building, I guess is probably how most people took it. And that's important, right? To gather together. It just so happens to be in a building. But 9 out of 10 said, no, my faith is my own. I've been hurt by the church. There's not nice people in the church. I still believe in God, but I don't love people. Those were some of the things that I was told. So there, you know, there was no follow-up to that. Like, all right, well, this is why you need the church. It was just to listen to them. It was shocking. So I'm here to tell you, you need the church. Church needs you. The body of believers needs your spiritual gifts to function. We live in a very individualistic society, don't we? And a lot of people, you might have heard this phrase where it's like, people don't want to admit that there's a overall truth in the universe. People don't want to say that there's one truth. One truth. A phrase I've often heard is like, well, that's what you believe. I believe what I believe. You're allowed to believe what you want. That's individualistic. They're making their own truth. But we do that with church too. But that goes against what Paul is telling us here in our text. That our gifts that we've been given were given to be given. That's the title of this message. Given to be given. The spiritual gifts, the talents, the passions, the different skills that you have were given to be given to help each other, as the scripture says. To help each other, to help our community, to help our families. And you'd say, well, what to do what? What's the follow-up? To bring unity in His Spirit, to bring people to Him. That's the point. That's the point of all of this, to bring all of us closer to Him. Now, part of my vision and priority I shared last week as being here for 2 months was like discipleship. I'm a big believer in discipleship, and we're starting that small group tonight, and I would strongly encourage just to come and check it out. It's very low-key. It's very, right, Terry? It's very just, I would say chill is the word I would use. But this discipleship, this journeying closer to Him and following Him, is a big passion of mine. And I believe that takes place in context of like small groups. But what we talked about today is another passion of mine, another vision for this church. Is to discover our gifts, is to discover talents and passions. I believe that's part of my function in the body that we call church here at Quest, is to help people, help you discover your spiritual gifts from God. But not only discover that, because I think a lot of times it's like, okay, we kind of know what our talents and what our passions are, but now what do we do with them? I think the church sometimes is guilty of not having places for people to serve because we've glorified certain things, musicians, speakers. But what about the other gifts? What about the other functions? So part of my passion and vision here is to be able to equip people to do what their function is. To do what God, go ahead. Yeah. Hey, we're all growing. We're all growing and learning. None of us in here are perfect. We learn, and that's what I'm talking about here, is we need each other. So on those times where we do need encouragement, or whatever it is, we can count on that. But that's what I want us to do here, is equip and to give those opportunities to use those gifts that you've been given. And I believe that there's already opportunities for you. You're saying like, well, what do you mean? Each of you have your own context, your own sphere of influence right now. Your family, your school, your work. All of you have opportunities to use those gifts to bring people to Him. So I would encourage you to be open to how God might want to use you, and just encourage you to be obedient. If he reveals something. You all have a spiritual gift. I hope I made that clear from the scriptures, that you all have a spiritual gift. Now say, I think another thing that we get caught up in is struggling to know what that spiritual gift is. A lot of people say, oh, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know what God wants me to do. And we say that about spiritual gifts too. So I'll give you some ways to explore. Like I said, I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal those spiritual gifts as you grow closer to Him. But there's other ways to kind of get an idea of these spiritual gifts that you've been given. And that's prayer. Ask God. Say, God, reveal a passion in my life. Reveal this gift that you've given me through your Spirit. I believe He will be faithful in revealing that to you. I believe another way that we find out our spiritual gifts is through other believers, mature believers in Christ, speaking truth to us, speaking words of wisdom, affirmation. Because there are going to be times where you doubt, where you compare. And I'm thankful for the people who are much wiser and mature in their faith, who have spoke truth to me, who have, when I'm doubting, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be a pastor. There's people that say, I affirm what the Spirit is doing in your life. So I believe that's how another way that we can discover our spiritual gifts is for people to recognize those in us. And another way is to take a spiritual gifts test on Google. Okay? I would encourage you to do that. I didn't lead with that because they didn't always have Google throughout the history of the church, right? So today it's nifty, spiritual gift test. Google it. You'll get any option that you could ever find to take a spiritual gifts test, and that will help you maybe identify some strengths, some gifts that you've been given. But they didn't always have that, but we do today. I believe those are, like we pray on Wednesday nights about these technologies that we have today. We're thankful for those. They're God's gracious tools that He's allowed us to use in our context today. But I just want to close with this and then we'll pray. The gifts that you've been given are given to be given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit that unites us. Thank you for this opportunity to gather as a church body, to discover what it means to be given a spiritual gift. And God, just to reveal the purpose of it all. That's to bring people closer to you, to help each other. So God, I pray that you would reveal those ways, that you would speak to your people this morning. That as we seek to find our identity and find who you say we are, that we wouldn't be tempted to compare or to be envious or discontent, but that we would be fulfilled by who you say we are. That we may be fulfilled with the gifts that you've given us. And God, as a church, help us to be ready to equip those people, to equip your people, God. I pray that the Spirit that unites us all with this would do just that, unite us all, for us to move as a body in this world as one, following your leadership. I pray that as we go our different ways into our different contexts throughout this week, that you would reveal ways to use, for us to use our gifts to bring people closer to you. I pray for our small group tonight as we just start out on this new journey, that you would bless that time, that you would grow us closer to you and grow us closer to each other. God, we love you and we thank you again for this time. And I pray all of this in your risen Son's name. Amen.